Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, July 13th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'll begin with verse 20 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together, and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and he will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak, one at a time, and someone should interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirit of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Did the word of God originate with you? Are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Okay, before we move on to the Psalms, I just want to talk a little bit about this passage because it can be very tricky, especially when it says that women should be silent in the churches. What is Paul talking about here? We at Mount Brook Baptist have women serving in ministry all the time, and I wanted to kind of give you some basis for thinking through interpretation of this text. So first and foremost, we need to think about the context. Just back in chapter 11, women were supposed to wear head coverings while they were praying and prophesying. This is a cultural thing that people did in Bible times. Like today, women who are married, we wear wedding rings. It is a sign that we are married and that we respect our husbands. Wearing a head covering was a sign that a woman respected her husband and she respected herself. And so they wore head coverings when they prayed or prophesied. And then here in this passage, we see that Paul says that women, or perhaps it's translated wives, need to be silent in the churches. So there is definitely some interpretive question here, because just three chapters back, he has told us that women pray and prophesy in a congregational setting. So here are some possibilities as to the interpretation of what is going on. Theologian Craig Keener may give us some help on this. He speaks in a book called Paul, Women, and Wives about this passage, and he says that Paul was addressing relatively uneducated women who seemed to be disrupting the service with irrelevant questions. And so the immediate remedy for the situation was for them to stop asking such questions, and the long-term solution was to educate them. So some possible interpretations that you could come away from this text with is, number one, you could forbid women to speak in all churches. Or number two, perhaps take into context the order that is needed in church and that women must stop disrupting the service. Third, you could see this as a command to wives. In the context of the worship services, perhaps wives were speaking to their husbands on the side and disrupting, or perhaps the husbands were prophesying and their wives were questioning them in public. The study Bible that I read says this: Paul is addressing married women who might want to be involved in the evaluation of their husband's prophecy, or to disrupt the service by speaking with their husbands. And so Paul reminds women that we are to live in submission, and married women are to honor their husbands and to avoid any contribution in the worship service that might bring disgrace upon their husband. We have to remember that most women were uneducated at this time. And so they had a lot of questions, I'm sure, in this new budding church, a church in which we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who welcomed women into his fellowship. And that's where I want to land on this. Most rabbis did not have women disciples. Yet we know a rabbi who had women who followed him, and we know a rabbi, our Lord Jesus, who welcomed women learning at his feet. I'm thinking of Mary, in the story of Mary and Martha, and how Jesus says she has chosen the better thing. And so I'm grateful that we as women can be learners, and that we as believers can work together to see the gospel go forward. Let's move on to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 58. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam. Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge uprightly among men? No, in your heart you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward and speak lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears. That will not heed the tune of a charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Tear out, O Lord, the fangs of the lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows be blunted. Like a slug melting away as it moves along, like a stillborn child, may they not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged, when they bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the master of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hand be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. That's a good reminder at the end of Ecclesiastes that we should cast our cares on the Lord and be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication that we should present our requests to God and know that He is working in them. And so, Lord, we ask that You would help us not to be a people who fear, but that the joy of the Lord might be our strength, that You would give us not eyes that are natural eyes, but You would give us spiritual eyes, that You wouldn't give us a disposition that is natural, but You would give us a spiritual disposition that we can see with eyes of trust and eyes that know that You are working even when we cannot see You at work around us. We praise You, Lord, for all the ways that we do see Your hand in the revelation of the world, through Your scriptures, and through the blessed community You give us with one another. Bless our families, Lord. We pray for those in our midst who do not know You. Each of my brothers and sisters have specific requests, and we just lay them at Your feet. Lord Jesus, thank You that we can have a conversation with You and that You welcome us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our friend. Amen.